The reading is from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 13. I thought I'd check that and make sure I was right. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from the far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from the righteous. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay, and I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you out this morning. It's a privilege to be here as brothers and sisters of like precious faith. The lesson this morning is not a new lesson. It's a new lesson for me, but it's not a new lesson for you. The lesson is for each and every one of us this morning. In the title of the lesson is Mission Possible. I started this lesson about 4 years ago, and then we had our VBS that summer in the spring that I was kind of working on this to get a lesson kind of ahead. And the VBS lesson was Mission Possible. But that's okay. When I made up the lesson, I made it up the way I wanted it, and it's not necessarily the same lesson that we had in VBS, okay? By way of introduction, first, there's 4 points I want to make, and then the lesson is yours. Whose mission is it? What is the mission? And what's our part as Christians in that mission? And who can be a part of the mission? Whose mission is it? We know whose it is. It's God's mission. And as you just heard in the reading from Isaiah 46, 8 through 13 is the text that we're going to be kind of referring back to, along with the other scriptures that I'm going to use to kind of fill in the blanks of those verses in Isaiah 8 through 13. 8 through 9, he says from the reading, remember this and stand firm. Bring it to your mind, for I am God and there is no other. Before we go any further, I have done something to make this a lesson a little different, because you've heard this lesson many, many times, and I've done that to give it a different perspective. Rella asked during Bible class, what's the chair for? Tom mentioned, I think, in the announcements. How many of you all actually saw the chair and asked yourself, what's the chair for? Raise your hands. You all know what the chair is for, don't you? It's to sit on. That's what it's for. Correct? Okay. With that said, in Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, that isn't the verse that I'm looking for. Matthew 18:20, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Where two or three are gathered in his name, there I am in the midst of them. The Greek word there says that that means among us, between us. He is here with us. I even thought of asking a volunteer to come up and sitting in a chair, but that's a little bit too much. But the chair serves the purpose, and it's an object lesson, so to speak. The Lord would not have said that if it wasn't true. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 47, beginning. John chapter 12, verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I have come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself. Jesus says, I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What should I say? And what should I speak? And I know that this commandment is eternal life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, I speak to you. The Lord said, he's in our presence, and he is here with us. If he's not here with us, he wouldn't have said it. John 17:17 says, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word, O God, for thy word is truth. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Whatever God has revealed to us in Scripture is revealed to us because it's the truth, and that everything is possible with God. If God spoke the universe into existence, and God said that he will be in the midst of us when two or three are gathered in his name, he is here with us, and you better take that to the bank. And I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson. And that should, and I'm hoping that's going to put a different perspective on what the lesson has to teach us. And I had another thought, but I've lost that thought. But we'll just move ahead. Again, in verse 8 and 9, he says, remember this. Stand firm. Stand still. Remember this. Stand still. And bring it to your mind. What we just learned and was used in the Bible class, the Bereans received the word with readiness of mind. Bring it to mind. Bring it to mind what God is telling us right now. Thank you all for being here, because that shows your devotion and loyalty to Him as Christians. If you're here and you're not a Christian, still shows your concern for your own soul. And that's a good thing. And He is asking all of us to listen. Stand firm. Remember this. Remember what He's going to say. I'm just His spokesman. Anyone who gets up here is just His spokesman. He is saying this to you, not me. He is speaking through His words. Okay? And He is telling us to remember, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, is what He's saying. For I am God and there is no other. In verse 10 of the reading, He says, I am declaring the end from the beginning. God brought everything into existence in this world for this purpose, why we're here today. And that's to worship Him as He has asked us to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:22-25 and 26. And are seeking yet those to do so. He is as alive today as He was when He started this creation. And that flame that burnt that Moses saw, it's still burning, brothers and sisters, figuratively. It's never went out. God is still here. God is still in control. And He wants us to listen to Him. He is declaring the end from the beginning. And the end from the beginning is His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 19:23. But with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. In other words, God made it known to us through His determinate counsel, His will for us. Now listen to what He says in the next verse. Who by Him, who by Jesus, we, if we don't believe in Jesus, what are we doing here? We believe in Him, and we believe in God's promises through Him. Who by Him, who by Jesus, we do believe in your faith, who by Him do believe in your faith and hope might be in God. The Lord wants your hope and faith to be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Have you obeyed the truth yet? You're here for a reason. The Lord is saying to you, have you obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren? That's why we are here, because we love each other as brethren, as brothers and sisters of like precious faith, to see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is why we need, that's why we're here, to do that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If His word lives and abides forever, that's where I want to be. And I know that's where you want to be. The latter part of verse 10 of the reading this morning, His counsel shall stand. And he, listen, he will accomplish all his purpose. He will accomplish his plan. He will not fail in what he has set out to do. He will accomplish it. And he will accomplish it either with us or without us. And that's a promise. That's what he says in that verse. His counsel is his will, and he has appointed his will to us. Luke 22, verse 42, then Jesus said unto his father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not Jesus' will, not his own son's will, but let your will be done. And in Acts 2, verse 23 and 24, it goes on to say concerning his will, when Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon, him being delivered, Christ, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That simply means he purposed it and he appointed his will. And to be foreordained is to be foreknown indeed of God. You have taken this Jesus and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Back to the reading in verse 10 and 11, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. And he said, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, and I have purposed it. And I, the Lord says, will do it. Acts 5:39. So in the present case, I tell you, these are the men who had been by the Sanhedrin accused of teaching Jesus. And the men there, one stands up and says, in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this counsel or this working is of men, it will fail. But if this plan or this counsel is the will of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Us might even be found to be opposing God. If we don't believe what God is telling us in the scripture, then we're opposing him. They were opposing him because it was God's plan, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. If we've never obeyed the gospel, are we not trusting in him to do what he said he will do? For what reasons do we come if we've never obeyed the gospel? God said he will save us. Do we want our children to be saved? Do we want our grandchildren to be saved? Our great-grandchildren to be saved? Then what are we doing as grandparents, as fathers and mothers, to see that that is accomplished? Because God says he can do it. And we have to believe that. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that we have done in this life that we can't be forgiven of. He said he will do it, and he's done it in his son. His son came to this life, deity in the flesh, died for all of us, that all of us can be saved through the working of God's will in our lives and the life that Jesus gave for us on the cross. Whose side are we on today? That's a question that all of us need to ask. Because if we're not serving God, then who are we serving? If we're not serving God, if we're caught up in something that we shouldn't be doing, we need to repent of that. I need to repent of that. We need to be doing the will of God and living it in our lives. What is the mission? That everyone be saved. The reading says in verse 12, "Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness." Who are the stubborn-hearted? Those who will not listen, those who have not obeyed God. And he says, "You are from far from me." Why are we far from him? Because of our unrighteousness. He wants to bring the stubborn-hearted into a righteous standing with him. He wants us to be saved. What are we waiting for? He's provided everything that we have need of to do that. In verse 13, he says, "I will put my salvation in Zion, Jerusalem." Thus it is written in Luke 24, 46 through 47. "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be first preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And that has been done. That is history. That is fact. And we know that. In other words, he has brought his salvation into the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalms 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart is to all generations." That is a promise to each of us. You can take that to the bank. If you're here today, he is waiting for you to respond to his call, the gospel call. If you need prayers from the church, he's waiting for us to do that. What's our part as Christians in the mission? We are to go. Matthew 28, 18 and 20, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority and power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's our mission as the church. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world." God has provided us with everything we need. 1 Timothy 4:11, listen. He says, listen to this, remember this in the text. In 2 Timothy 4:11, "These things command and teach," what we just read. That's what we are to command and teach for each of us to be a part of and to carry out in our lives and to do. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers." We are to be examples to all believers. How? In word, in conversation, the way we live, in love, in charity, in the spirit, in faith, in purity. "Till I come, give attendance to reading the word and the exhortation of it, and to the teaching of it, give attendance to. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery." Now that is done and over with. But we still have talents And we still have God-given abilities that we can use in the kingdom. And he is saying to us there that we need to use those. Meditate with readiness of mind, just like the Bereans. Meditate. Bring these things to mind. Everything that was just read. Bring this to mind upon. Bring your mind to these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. Heed unto thyself and what you are teaching, and unto the teaching and the doctrine of it. Continue in them, for in so doing, you will save yourself and those that hear you. That's a promise from God. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. He is telling us to be strengthened in that grace that is in Christ. And the way we do that is through his word and through our service to that word, in teaching it and living it in our lives. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. That's our part of the, as the church, to do. To commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And brothers and sisters, that just keeps growing and growing and growing. And that can be 4 and 5 generations, even more. When we teach someone and they teach someone else and they teach someone else and they teach someone else, and that keeps the word of God growing throughout generations. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Everything that foes our way, that is thrown our way, endure through it. Looking to the end, that's how we endure through everything in this life. Is looking to the end and what the end is going to hold for us. Because no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he can't fulfill the service or duty that he's promised, whom he is a soldier to. Foy E. Wallace, one of the greatest preachers in the churches of Christ, preached for many, many years. Tens of thousands of people that he baptized. And on his cross, on his tombstone, it reads, a soldier of the cross. He did what the scripture said to do. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee, therefore before God, we need to be well reported of before God, is what that means. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And that simply means to be ready at all times. All times, any time of the day or any time of the night, be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap together themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Don't be guilty of turning your ears away from what the Lord is saying to you today. Don't turn your ears away from the truth. Hear what he says. Listen, remember, stand still and listen and see the salvation of the Lord. But watch thou in all things, be watchful. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Carry it out fully. That's what we're to do. Just as a soldier is to carry out his duty fully, we are to carry out our duty to the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Who can be a part of this mission? This great commission. Everyone. Every one of us can be a part of it. And there's no reason or anything stopping us from doing so, because it's been promised to all mankind. Second Peter 3:9 through 18. Listen to what this says. I know you're familiar with it, but listen to what it says. Listen. Listen to me, he says. Listen to me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise to us, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward each of us, to all of us, not willing that any of us should perish. He doesn't want any of us to be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. We need to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I don't want to be a part of that, and I don't think any of us do as well. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, listen, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons or people ought we to be? In holy conduct, in godliness, in looking for the hasting the coming of the day of God. Are we ready? Are you ready? Don't say no. Don't turn your back on the truth. Don't turn your back on the Lord. He's telling us to listen. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Because I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Because of which the heaven and earth will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which the righteous will dwell. Do you want to be among the righteous? I think you do. I do. We all should and do. But what you do with the invitation, make sure you do what you need to do. Be steadfast, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Be diligent to be found in him. We need to be diligent to be found in him. In peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that long-suffering of the Lord is salvation to you, to us. As also our beloved Paul, brother, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. How? By being led astray with the error of the wicked. But grow again, he says, in grace. Be strengthened again in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and praise forever. Amen. Back to the reading this morning in verse 12, he says again, listen to me. God is asking us right now, listen to me. You who have a stubborn heart, and are not righteous. The only thing that separates us from him is our unrighteousness. And all unrighteousness is sin. We will never be righteous on our own and of ourselves. Never will be. But he makes us righteous. And that's a promise from him when we are obedient to his word. And that is simply not obeying what he has asked us to do in Christ. That is simply obeying what he asked us to do in Christ. And brothers and sisters, we all have been there. All of us have been there. When I became a Christian, I wanted to become a Christian when I knew what I had to do to become a Christian when I was a young boy, 12, 13 years old. But I didn't do it. And then there would become another time I just kept passing up the invitation. And when Shirley and I were married, she became a Christian before I was. I grew up in the church. And Brother Ed Floyd asked to do a study with us. And I said, yeah. And when we got through the study and did all the books that he had, it was the Jewel Miller film strips, and with all the booklets that came with them, we went through all of them. And I said to Brother Ed, and you can relate to this. I said, Brother Ed, I said, all my life I have wanted to respond to the gospel of Christ, but I didn't. And I don't know why. And I said, since we've been studying these past several weeks, every time the invitation has been sung, I've been wanting to come forward and obey, but I can't. I just can't get out of that pew and come forward. And I don't know why. He said, Scott, I know why. And I said, why? He said, Satan is telling you that you don't need to. You have time. You can wait. You can put it off. If you're here today, don't put him off. Don't let Satan win this battle again. He wants you. He's telling us to listen. Listen. See the salvation of the Lord. Verse 13, he says, I bring near my righteousness to you. He's here with us right now. He has brought his righteousness near us in himself. And he has fulfilled that in his Son, Jesus Christ, in John 3:16-36. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But listen what verse 36 says. He that believes on the Son hath eternal life. If you believe on the Son, you will have eternal life. But he that obeyed not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. In verse 13, he concludes, with my salvation shall not tarry. That's what he said in the reading. His salvation will not linger, and it will not be delayed. It is here because he has placed it, his salvation in Zion, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his Son has fulfilled that promise, and he has brought him near to you, to us today, through his word. But he warns, don't delay, don't you put this off anymore. He's asking, he's pleading with you today, but it's your choice. He's not going to make you. He wants your heart to be cut by his word in acceptance of his will in your life. You're here for a reason. Don't pass him up again. Don't pass this opportunity up that he is providing for us today. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Apostle Paul says, I heard you at an acceptable time, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. Paul here is emphasizing his point by quoting Isaiah 49:8. He was passionately concerned about the Corinthians to adhere to the truth because it was God's time for them to be saved. It's God's time for you to be saved today. Do it for your family. Do it for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Don't put it off. Now is the day of salvation. Psalms 34, 8 and 9. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. In other words, blessed are they who act today, the day of salvation. Hebrews 6, 18. That we who have fled for refuge through our obedience to the gospel might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. And you can have that same hope and refuge in him today because of what God has done for us. And what he's done for us, he has sent us strong encouragement through his word in Hebrews 6, 18, 19, and 20 through the remainder of that chapter. He has sent us strong encouragement, and that encouragement comes from God, who cannot lie about what he's told us and has promised that to you, to us, with an oath. He has promised us with an oath that he will save you. Don't reject him again. Don't turn your back on him again. He's here today, and he's pleading for you to come home. 1 John 5:13, I have written these things. Everything that's written in the book is written so that you might believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you can know that you, each of us, can know that we have eternal life. How is that accomplished? If everything that is written in this book is for us to know that we can have eternal life, we read it, we hear it, we see it, we obey it, and we live it. And we can know that we have eternal life now, today. Not maybe, not that I hope so, but we can know today that we have eternal life. He is here. That's what that chair represents. He's here. He says, remember this, bring it to your mind. Don't turn your back on it. Please, he's asking us, remember this. Bring it to your mind. Don't put me off. Don't let Satan win again. You may not have another chance. Your salvation is today. He is here. Will you come? Will you come as we stand together? Come and let your request be made known.